Hello there, and welcome to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Of course, the voice of the North Shore, Bill Newell. Tim Kearns is not with us tonight. He has other duties to perform, but we have a mostly football show once again here this evening. Not all together, but, you know, it is the Division 6, Division 2, 3, whatever it is. I think it's Division 3 and Division 6 finals coming up in the North involving a lot of North Shore teams. So we're going to be talking about that primarily tonight. But we'll also be checking in, good Lord willing, the Crick Don't Rise with Nick Kukru of the Gloucester Times. Nick, the sports editor of the Times. And here is our lineup for this evening. Forgot to write Nick's number down here. We will be talking at the top of the hour with the Stoneham football coach, Stoneham High School football coach, Bob Almeida. And, of course, the Spartans have gone on to, they will be going to the Division 6 North Finals at Hamilton Wenham High School on Saturday and will be broadcasting that game. And they got there as a result of beating Ipswich a couple of weeks ago, 36-14. And then this weekend they beat Shawshin Valley Tech by a score of 44-39, and we'll check in with Coach Almeida to get the some information about his kids and some of the kids he depends on, some of the kids who played well for him all year long, and what he might be expecting from Hamilton Wenham. And then we'll talk with Hamilton Wenham football coach Jim Pugh. And of course, we've had Coach Pugh on the last several weeks in a row, it seems, as the Hamilton Wenham Generals are just putting on a tremendous display, great display of offense. Saturday it was. Against Arlington Catholic, we had that game. It's available on our website. If you just check down a few pages, you'll see, or a few posts, you will see the broadcast game from Saturday. 51-18 was the score there, as Arlington Catholic just had the house fall on it in that first quarter, and Hamilton Wenham just stayed on top of things throughout that whole game. Then we will be talking with Marblehead football coach Jim Rudloff later on, and we'll check in with Danvers football coach Ryan Nolan, along with Nick Kukru, and of course MSO's Bill Newell. So all that's coming up here on MSO News Sports. We hope that you will be with us and tell people about what we do here, if you don't mind. Now, I will tell you this. Let me see. I do want to say hello to assistant football coach Ben Goodhue of Marblehead High School. Ben always listening in, and great to see Ben out there back coaching again with all the the challenges he's gone through this year. Also want to say to our new hello to our new buddies Doug and Ron, who are at football games just all over the North Shore, and very opinionated dudes, very very well informed about high school football and great high school fans. Okay, we will take our first break of the evening and come back again, hopefully, with our first guest, Stoneham football coach Bob Almeida. This is North Shore Sports Night, heard most Monday. Oh, and by the way, we will have a lot of football coming up here this weekend. On Friday night, I will be going over to Melrose, I think. We still haven't heard back from the AD yet, but we'll be broadcasting the Melrose Marblehead football game. Last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been reporting on those games over to Bill Newell on Channel A, but on Friday night, we plan to broadcast that game, Marblehead and Melrose, in the Division 4 North Finals. On Saturday, we'll have a couple of games, as it will be Tewksbury at Lynn English. That game will be at 2 o'clock on Saturday. And the earlier game, starting at 1 o'clock, will be Stoneham at Hamilton Wenham, and we'll have the broadcast of that game as well. So all of that coming up this weekend, and of course between here and there, we will have much more information about sports and news too. We do cover the news for you here on MSO. We'll be right back.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Compelling exhibits, thought-provoking programs, all celebrating Lynn's past while promoting a vision for its future. I'm Drew Russo, Executive Director of the Lynn Museum and Lynn Arts, and I invite you to visit our campus located in the heart of the downtown Lynn Cultural District with galleries at 590 Washington Street and 25 Exchange Street. Currently, we are featuring The Vision Place of Souls, Civil War landscapes by local artist Jeff Fioravanti through December 22nd at the museum, and rotating shows from local artists in the Lynn Arts Gallery. We're open Tuesdays to Fridays 10 to 4 and Saturdays 9 to 1. Visit us online at lynnmuseum.org.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn. The following is a paid political announcement from Lynn City Councilor at Large, Brian LaPierre.
Since I have been elected, we have made progress. The city is growing, but there is much work to still do. Small businesses are flourishing. We've created local jobs and continue to fight for working families all across Lynn. I have responded personally to over 1,000 constituent requests, but the work doesn't stop there. We need to keep our streets safer and our neighborhoods cleaner. We have to maintain our public services while keeping taxes affordable. The people of Lynn deserve a high level of representation. I am Brian LaPierre, and I'm running for re-election for Lynn City Councilor at Large, and I respectfully ask for one of your four votes on Tuesday, November 7th.
All right, we're back live now, and joining us is Stoneham football coach Bob Almader. And Coach, welcome to MSO.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Well, you know, I'm just checking in on you guys, and I'm looking at some wild games that you've had over the season here, and this is your sixth season with Stoneham. Do I have that correct?
Yes, you do.
All right, so you had a very good year this year and a better year this year. How about a little summary about how the season has gone for you guys?
Well, as you know, we started off, we had a great start. We were 4-0 and had a great opportunity to play a team that we've struggled with for many years in Melrose, who's just a traditional power. And we really came out and played a fantastic, especially offensive game, and kind of put them on their heels a little bit. And the game ended up going into overtime, and that was the first lead that they took. We had a controversial call on our series. They scored, and we stopped the points, and we had a controversial call. You know, we kind of thought our guy was in, would have sent us double overtime at least, if not had a chance to win. But Melrose always finds that way to win, and they did in that game. And I think that really took a lot out of us for a couple of weeks. You know, you try not to give in to those things, but mm-hmm. I know they're kids, and I think we had a little bit of letdown. But we bounced back and played well. And we had Wilmington, where, you know, I had coached for 12 years. Had a successful run there, and just recently retired teacher from the middle school and know all the kids. So it was a game that really wanted to play well, and that was our worst game of the game. Played very, very, very poorly in that game.
Oh.
And Wilmington played very, very well. So that was a tough one, but we bounced back, and we've had a little playoff run, and you know, we certainly had our hands full on Friday night against Shawshin.
Well, when you run into those Wilmington kids down the road after they've been to school and they've been in jobs for a while, I'm sure you guys are going to have some fun talking about that one and what it meant to you. How long were you at the middle school, Coach?
I was a middle school phys ed teacher for 34 years, 18 of which were in Wilmington.
Okay. I was a math teacher at Gloucester High School for about the same time, so... and I also taught at the middle school for a little while, so I get that. And Wilmington on a pretty good run themselves, a very good football team.
They really are. I think they had some pieces fall the right way. They had a really good senior class, and then had the addition of the running back who transferred from Central, and their quarterback Smith was finally healthy for the first time in his high school career, and he had a great run as well, and. The Roberts kid really came into his own this year. So, you know, they got the kids playing really well, and they got on a roll, and they hadn't had success in a few years. And, you know, they really were drinking the Kool-Aid, and they punched us in the face, and we didn't punch back. So it was a rough one for us. And, you know, of course, I have to hear it all over town, but that's okay. We're still alive. So.
There you go. Oh, my goodness. Well, Coach, before I get to some of your players, a little bit about this most recent playoff game, because that looks like a wild one.
It really was. You know, we were very fortunate to get a stop on the first. We won the toss and deferred, and we're very fortunate to get a stop because their kid actually dropped a short touchdown pass and ended up getting the ball, went right down and scored, got the two-point conversion. You know, they came back and scored. Then we ran the kickoff back for a touchdown, got the 2 points. So it was really back and forth, and it was, I mean, huge plays by them. And you know, sometimes the eye does lie a little bit, and their two receivers did a great job, and their quarterback threw the heck out of the ball. So you know, hats off to them. We were really very fortunate to get out of there with the win, mm-hmm. And came down to a final drive, and our kids. You know, the one positive we can really take from it is that our kids' backs were against the wall. We were down 4 points and went down and scored. All my coaches were kind of yelling at me not to save any time on the clock because, you know, they had scored so quickly mm-hmm. the whole game. And I said, no, I just want to score. You know, You guys will have to stop them. That's what it is.
You know, I've only seen one team, and that's in the pros, that can get away with that, and that's the Patriots, man. You got to score when you can, I would
think.
Right. Jeez.
Exactly right. So we were fortunate to score, and they actually made a run, of course, with like 1:50 left in the game, and we had a huge fourth down stop, 4th and 2, and Joe D'Antona and Antonio Ventrescu came up and made a nice hit and ended it there, but we were really fortunate to get out of there, and my good friend Al Costabile, longtime coach of Shawshin and Bishop Fenwick, you know, his kids did a great job, and I think you know, both teams kind of deserve to win.
Coach, when you see the film, I'm guessing you have to do you go back and critique the most recent game before you start working on the next one? Do you take a look at that most recent game? Hello. I can't believe I lost you. All right, well, let me call back.
Can you hear me now?
I got you, Coach. There you go. I'm just wondering, have you looked at the film on the Shawshin game yet from this weekend?
Oh, absolutely. We did it. You know, we do our stuff on Saturdays, and we like to try to you know, correct the things that are broken, which of course there were quite a few things broken, but and make the corrections and move on. You really have to learn from the mistakes you made and on them, and you have to fix the things that go out in practice and fix them. But you know, as terrific as Shawshin's passing game was, and the quarterback we seem to make highlights for quarterbacks lately, but you know, you have to move on to Hamilton Wenham, and they're the number one seed for a reason, because they do all those things, only they do them even better.
So. All right, let's talk a little bit about that game. We've seen Hamilton Wenham the last couple of weeks, and they seem to have you know, a lot of weapons on offense, and they're pretty darn good on defense as well. So what do you see out of them? Oh, I lost you again, Coach. Oh, my goodness.
You got me now?
Yeah. Where do you go? Okay.
I don't know what's happening here.
All right, just tell me a little bit about your scouting report on Hamilton Wenham.
Well, they really have athletes all over the field. Their main guys, obviously, are Peach and Lanciotti, number three. I mean, those two guys are nightmares to defend, and you can't let them go. I mean, they you know, if a play breaks down, they find a way to get open, and quarterback finds them, you know, regularly. But you can't ignore their running game, because they're outstanding. 13 is just he's a good tailback. They've got the great fullback. Quarterback makes great decisions. So they run the ball well. They pass the ball great, and they're really a good screen team, which is another caveat that Coach Pugh's always had in his arsenal. They're really good. The line does a nice job up front. They're tough and they fight. And you know, defensively, they're just so opportunistic. If you make a mistake or you turn the ball over, they convert that into points very quickly. So a real key for us is to not turn the ball over and try to limit their possessions by hanging on to the football.
Who are some of your leaders that our listeners should be listening for this weekend?
Well, a guy who's been starting for us for 4 years is Trey Pignone, and he's having a wonderful year. He's actually, they have him listed at 90, but he actually has 20 touchdowns, and he was injured for one of our games this year. So he's done all that with in eight games. He's really a terrific player. We're fortunate that we're balanced enough that we have another running back that's very, very good in Christos Argyropoulos. And he's a junior who's done who started for us last year, and he's a very good player as well. Can you hear me still?
Yep, I got you, Coach. Yep, sounds good.
A pleasant surprise for us. It was kind of a late decision to put him at the fullback position. But Kevin McShane has done a wonderful job both blocking and running for us. He's also our middle linebacker, and he's been a real big key. But I really feel like our offensive line, which for us is really end-to-end, have done a consistent job all year. I would say consistent job all year long of coming off the football and creating running lanes for these talented backs.
Can you mention those kids off the top of your head, Coach? I know it's a lot because you got so many names going through your head right now.
I will. At right end, we have senior Nick Allen, which was injured all of last year, and he's doing a great job. And I won't give him to you. I'll try to.
No, that's okay.
Will Carino is our right tackle, and he's a senior three-year starter. He's so consistent. And the communication up with those guys up front has been so good. Joe D'Antona, and he was also an all-league kid last year, Carino. Joe D'Antona was an all-league offensive lineman last year, playing right guard. And he's, our strongest player and a very good one. Anthony Batano is a senior who started one game in his career last year, and it was on Thanksgiving on a big win over Reading. And Anthony has worked extremely hard. He's become a really solid center for us. At left guard, we've had Chris Bellevue as a sophomore, and he's really done a great job. He's been banged up a couple of times, but he's a tough kid, and he's done really, really well at left guard. At left tackle, Brendan Godfrey is a kid who came in as a skinny little sophomore a couple of years ago, and now he's worked so hard in the weight room, and he's been a very dominant left tackle for us.
Coach, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And then we were very fortunate that Tiago de Almeida has been a backup running back for us. He started a few games last year, and he moved to tight end for us, which was a very unselfish thing, and he's really taken to the position and had a great year. So, those guys have really, really held it down. Jack McCabe has been a career backup quarterback, and our quarterback wasn't able to come back this year. And Jack stepped in from day one and has done a very good job managing the offense and type of offense that, when people really try to get that extra guy or two in the box, he's done a good job making them pay for most of the year, hitting big pass plays.
I sense a little pride in your voice here, and that your kids have—they've got the understanding of team concept. It sounds like
they really have, and we play an unselfish offense where everyone has to do their job and has to do the dirty work, and they all have taken to it, and. I think we've gotten better and better as an offense as the year's gone on, and we've scored a lot of points. We're obviously not balanced the way Hamilton Wenham is, and who can do, run, throw, screen. But we're effective in what we do, and I feel like our offense kind of fits into the amount of, we have very, short amount of players, and it's very difficult to have good players at wide receiver and good players at running back and good players at tight end. So, this kind of condenses things for us a little bit, and they've done a good job with it.
Sounds great. Final question, Coach. Can you mention your assistants and maybe give a little shout-out to them?
I would like to. First of all, I've had the opportunity to coach against my good friend Jim Pugh for many years. I was head coach of Wilmington for 12, and Baldwin Catholic, we went twice against each other. So we've had big battles over the years. He's had some great teams with Masco, and we had some great teams as well. And we had some wonderful battles over the year. But he's a good friend and a heck of a football coach. But John Rafferty, we were very, very fortunate to get him as our defensive coordinator 3 years ago. He was the very successful head coach at North Andover High School, and you know, was stepping down, and you know couldn't stay away, and you know, we put the full court press to get Coach Rafferty with us, and they were actually Jim's Thanksgiving rival for his whole 14 years over there, so they're very familiar with each other. Kevin Yannikopoulos is a Hall of Fame two-sport athlete from Stoneham High, and he's done a great job with our quarterback and defensive backs. Chris Yancey, who also is president or one of the lead people in our youth program, is our defensive line coach, and you know, he was here at the program before I got here. Rich Tarby was at BC High, and we got him to come over with us, and has coached our running backs. John Herrick, a former player here, and you know, great player at Merrimack, has done a great job with our freshmen. And really, the guy you know, who makes it all happen for us isn't a coach anymore, but he's our athletic director, Dave Pignone. And Dave is as responsible as anyone for the big turnaround we've had at Stoneham. And you know, he's just amazing. I've worked for a lot of people, but he's the best.
Coach, thank you so much, man, for sharing this with us. Great to hear the great things that are happening at Stoneham High School in the football program. And I just, you know, between you and Jim Pugh and myself, I'm just thinking old teachers never died. They just keep coaching.
You're absolutely right.
I love it. Hey, Bob, listen, congratulations on the great year. I hope to meet you on Saturday, and good luck this Saturday. And again, thanks so much.
Thanks. My pleasure, Rick.
Take care, Coach. All right, that is Bob Almeida, who is the football coach at Stoneham High School, and we'll be talking with Coach Pugh. I'm sure that Coach will have some reminiscences as well, and terrific to learn about the program. And, man, sports just makes the entire region just such a small neighborhood appreciated. All right, so still to come, we're going to check in with Coach Pugh in just a minute, I hope, and plenty more to go as well. We'll be right back.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we continue with our championship preview here on this Monday night on North Shore Sports Night, and we are now joined by Hamilton Wenham football coach Jim Pugh. And, Coach, good grief, that was a wild one on Saturday. What's your reaction to it now, a couple of days later after you've seen the film?
Very happy with our play, and on to Stoneham. I was about to say Wilmington, but Coach Almeida, he's a good friend, and we competed when we were at other schools, so looking forward to playing against Bob.
Well, you just mentioned that in the connection with North Andover and Masconomet and Wilmington and all that stuff. But again, let's just look back a little bit here, Coach, because you guys are playing such good football. And on Saturday, certainly in the first quarter, it was a matter of forcing mistakes and then taking advantage of those mistakes early. And you did it from just all angles of the field.
Yeah, and all of our playmakers and weapons. So it was a great way to open up, you know, the semifinals and playoff football. And you know, the week before we had a tough one with Salem, and you just never know who's, you know, which team is going to show up. But our kids showed up ready to play, and you know, we were a little concerned that, you know, there'd be a letdown after, you know, a good win in the quarterfinals, and but there was no letdown, and our kids came to play, and you know, Phil Durgan and our defense just really set the tone, caused the turnovers, and you know, then we were able to exploit with our speed some of their lack of speed.
Mm-hmm. Coach, when you look at the films after the game, after a game like that. And I know it's pretty common that coaches like to pick out, you know, the good, but they also need to pick out something, I guess, to teach. Do you do that? Did you find things on the film where you could look at your kids and say, okay, you know, we did great, but we can do better?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, the football coaches like to point out that on each play, we, you know, 10 kids have to do what they're supposed to do so that one kid can score a touchdown. And that is true, but, you know, I mean, obviously it's you know, a kid could run through five tackles and you know, break off an 80-yard touchdown run, and it hasn't been a total team effort.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, in theory, that is what we're striving for. And so each play, yes, there's going to be mistakes made and guys taking the wrong angle, and yes, that's the great thing about film. Films don't lie, as you know, coaches have been saying forever. And on top of that, with you know, with technology today and Huddle, the kids can watch tape on their own. I mean, it's not like the old days and, you know, 16 millimeters or DVDs even. I mean, it's just all right up on the computer. The kids can take their phone out and watch what they've done. I know our coaches, Coach Blance and Coach Peach, will send the play numbers and, you know, with comments on it. So mm-hmm. it doesn't have to all be done in the locker room at Hamilton Wenham or in the classroom. So, yes, we see a lot of the mistakes that we make and what we need to get better at.
Jim, when you do that, as an educator, and just talking with Coach Almeida about that as well, you know, sometimes we think, as sports fans, that we know it all. And when we study something, okay, I know baseball or I know football. And kids, I remember as a kid, I thought that as well. But when the light goes on, when you teach a kid something, maybe something subtle or maybe something obvious, and you see the light go on in his eyes, that's going to be pretty gratifying. And then he can go out and execute that.
It is. I mean, that's, you know, and that is really why, we, you know, most of us coach, to just, you know, to that aha moment where the kid just is able to see, hey, that's really, you know, that's what coach has been talking about for the last, you know, 3 months. But, you know, I said to the kids today, we had a JV game, and, you know, there's no way that you can get 21 other kids together in the summer with full football pads on to go 11-on-11 football game.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, during the season and during the JV games and freshman games, you've got to get your reps and during practice. So we tell our kids, I mean, they're not just practicing for this year. I mean, the younger kids and some of the upperclassmen are playing for next year, but they're really getting better at what they do. And, you know, there's no substitute for practice. I mean, it's not, you know, Tom Brady is great at talking about that. You know, you think, here's a guy who's done it forever, and he's always talking about that, you know, he missed some practice. If he misses practice, he's not prepared. You know, there's no one better at that. And if he's doing it, well, certainly his 16, 17-year-old quarterback, running back, linebacker, lineman needs to be doing it.
Exactly. Well, I know, and just listening, I always bring up Roger Day, you know, a former assistant football coach, a world world-class baseball coach, and just listening to him for five, and I've read about baseball for 50 or 60 years. I listen to him for 5 minutes, and it just fills my head with more stuff. So I guess you're always a student. Coach, I want to look at the upcoming game now. We're going to be there on Saturday, and it's been a spectacular couple of Saturdays. Just talking with Coach Almeida, he mentioned his star running back, Trey Pignone, but yeah. Maybe you could tell us a little bit from your coach's eye what you see with Stoneham.
Well, Trey, he's and there are other Christos, Aragopoulos, I think. I'm not sure if I pronounced that right. They got two tailbacks, and they run the double wing, two tight ends, and you know. So we're really expecting that they're a grounded out team, and they've been able to score a lot of points, and they're they've had some big wins. So they've been there before. I think 2 years ago, Coach Almeida, I think they won the North Final and lost. I don't know if they lost in the semifinals or if they lost. I don't know if they made it to the Super Bowl or not. But so their kids are, were expecting to be there and got there and had a great last drive to beat Shawshin in the last 2 minutes of the game last Friday night. But yes, they're very good. Coach Rafferty, who's the defensive coordinator, was the head coach we competed against for many years at North Andover, and he was, he does a great job. So they have an outstanding coaching staff and a lot of experienced kids. So it'll be a tough one.
Well,
that's why they play the game, and we're really excited to be playing in the North Final and going into this game ready for one of the top teams around.
It sounds like a classic match, Coach. I can't wait to see you guys, both teams, on Saturday. So, Jim, thanks for taking the time and all the help you've given us this year, and good luck this week. We'll see you on Saturday.
And Rick, thanks to you and Bill, and you guys do a great job for high school football and high school sports.
You're very kind, Coach. Thank you very much. See you Saturday.
Okay.
Take care. That is Jim Pugh, who is the head football coach at Hamilton-Wenham High School, and I've only known Coach Pugh since we started this, when we started broadcasting the Gloucester Masconomet football games, maybe back in 07 or 08, so it's been a while. Coach Pugh, like Coach Almeida, just can't stay at it. You got to keep doing it, and I love it. And another one, Paul Ingram, Coach Ingram with Gloucester High School, and having coached for many years, he works with us as a football analyst, and he's out watching high school football every weekend, as is Coach Jackson over at Marblehead. He's a high school hockey coach, as is Alex Kulovich and so many others. It's just, it's phenomenal. It's great. And great having understanding wives who understand that you can take the kid out of the game, but you can't take the game out of the kid. And we keep doing it, and we're not kids anymore. All right, we'll take a break, see if I can come back with Marblehead football coach Jim Rudloff, as coach will be playing Melrose. They'll be going to Melrose on Friday night for the Division IV championship game, Division IV North championship game, that is. And so we'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night. Satisfied. Morgan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. All right, let me kill the music here. We are back live on North Shore Sports Night with Marblehead football coach Jim Rudloff. Coach, how you doing?
Great. How you doing, Rick?
Oh, we're doing well. And, you know, looking back, we just talked with Stoneham football coach Bob Almeida and then Hamilton Wenham football coach Jim Rudloff. And, boy, you can't get those guys out of the game. They may retire from teaching, but they ain't leaving football.
Yeah, no, I actually... I saw Bob Almeida a couple weeks ago. He's been around forever, but you're right. Even more so is Jim Pugh. seems like he's been around. I mean, he was at the Super Bowl in 2009. I know the year that we were there with Masco.
Yep.
He'd been there a couple times before that, but he's done a great job over there. They have some really good players, and you know, in just his second year there, what he's done is impressive. And what Coach Almeida's done in Stoneham, after so many years in Wilmington, you know, he's done a tremendous job too. So two very great coaches.
It's great, and you know the Cape, the North Shore area, the Essex County area, North Shore, Cape Ann League, Northeast Conference, all doing well. Lynn English is still in it. You guys are still in it. Danvers just missed over the weekend. What do you think of that game?
Unbelievable. You know, all of the games were similar in weird kind of ways, you know, with the collapse in the second half, in a sense. You know, Danvers almost took advantage of Tewksbury's kind of collapse or the great play by Danvers in the second half. Same thing happened in our game with Wilmington. And, you know, English is the team that just, you know, is so impressive. Chris Carroll's a great coach. He doesn't get enough credit because when he first started coaching over in English, they didn't really have success right away. And what Chris has really done is, you know, he has taken that program and decided that he was going to change really everything about it. And I hate to use the word rotten, because it's not an indictment of anything that was going on before then, but Chris knew that to solve, you know, the things that had been illing English, you know, was something that he needed to go in a little bit deeper and make sure, you know, the eligibility of kids, their grades, things like that, that started from the school level, you know, in the classroom, and get the kids and the coaches and really the football program a little bit more integrated into what the kids' daily lives were. And you know, Chris and I had that conversation a while ago where he was telling me that this is some of the things he wanted to do. But you really see the results of it now, you know, just the way those kids carried themselves at the 7-on-7s, the way that, you know, their coaching staff, just everything, you know, you really saw when Chris first got there, that the changes he wanted to make and that the environment changed, and you really see it now, and couldn't be happier for him because he's really a good person and has done some good things there.
You know, I'm happy to hear that, Coach. And I think that, you know, as a football coach, you got to feel really good when the kids, I was just talking to Coach Almeida about this, when they get the idea of team concept and what it means in terms of being part of something bigger than yourself, and it teaches self-discipline. But Coach Ingram is always saying, you know, it's believe it or not, football is all about life, and there is a lot of truth in that.
Yeah, there really is. And, you know, another shout-out, Coach Nolan, Over in Danvers has done that, you know, and I know that Sean Terrio started out in the program, but you really get a sense with Danvers that they've changed the culture, and by doing that, you're asking the kids to change everything that they're doing. You know, the kids have so much in their lives today that can fill up those empty spaces, and getting the kids to make wise choices and practical choices and good choices, that, you know, is such a big part of what we do. And with these different guys like Chris Carroll, you know, I'm sure Bob Almeida's always done it, but, you know, Ryan Nolan, they're getting those kids to make the smart choices, and those choices that they make in the classroom and in life, it's so easy to have that reflect on the football program. It's really hard to do it the other way around. You can have a winning football program, but your kids can still be a bunch of jerks and not be good people, you know. But to do it the other way is the right way to do it, and really try to change the culture of your program, and you'll see it reflect in the W's. It doesn't happen overnight all the time, but when you do start to see it, it's really great.
Coach, how much, how difficult is it, and I don't even know if I should be asking this, but how difficult is it to relate on a personal level to so many different kids? Because each kid brings his own psyche, he brings his own problems, his own ego to the game, and you have to somehow put that together on a chessboard and make it work so that the guy beside him can trust him. So, you know, that's one of the great challenges of working with these youngsters, isn't it?
It is, and everyone has their own way. You know, there isn't one way to do it. There's things that I see guys that are very, very good at being sort of the military drill instructor type of guy, and that works. You know, you have to be true. You have to be, you know, true to who you are. You can't, like, I could never pull that off. I could never be the hard-o. It's not part of my personality. I'm fortunate I use my humor with the kids. You know, and I have a good staff around me that we all kind of fit in different ways into a puzzle that works for the kids. I've also been blessed with great kids, you know, that they have good parents, and so I don't run into too many problems that are super difficult to solve. But you know, you use what you have, and for me, it's, you know, I use my sense of humor and try to make a connection with the kids that way, and try to get them to buy into what we're trying to sell.
All right, and you do it very well, I might say, as all the coaches we've been talking with. Coach, let's look at some of the numbers, and your game on Saturday, and I won't belabor the point, but it was a tale of two halves, obviously. You guys dominated the first, and Wilmington dominated the second. What did your kids learn, and what are you going to work on this week as a result of that game?
Well, certainly, you know, one of the things, conditioning, you know, we had let it get away from us the last couple of weeks as we were getting healthy. You know, this guy's coming back from an ankle, this guy's coming back from a concussion. You know, I made the dumb mistake of starting to take it easy a little bit on the way we practiced and conditioning and things like that. We're trying to let everybody's bodies heal, and I think that kind of came to light in the game, in the second half especially. We didn't do a very good job substituting in the first half, too. Things were going so well that we were just like, wow, you know, let's keep those guys in there. So you saw that come out in the second half. Wilmington certainly stepped it up. You know, they were a different team in the second half than they were in the first half. And you know, that was a big part of it. I think X's and O's wise, we have to get better at stopping the pass. We put so much focus this year into stopping the run. It seems like every time we get an opponent, they're a run-oriented team. You know, they're full house backfield, two tight ends, wings, and that's been this whole season. This is the first time that we played a team that was sort of 50-50 between spread heavy sets and regular spread, and when it got down to the regular spread stuff, we kind of showed our rustiness, and normally that's something we're very good at, because that's our offense. And really, this week, you know, against Melrose, that's kind of what we have to do, is make the adjustments to go back to defending an offense that's a lot like ourselves, and be ready for kind of a 50-50 run-pass type of game.
Wasn't able to get a hold of Coach Morris. Been trying to, because I wanted to match up all the coaches tonight, and we were able to with the other game. But what do you see from Melrose, Coach?
It's a very similar to the same stuff we do. You're going to get a very equal dose of one back, two back. Occasionally they'll go with three backs, occasional tight end. But you're going to see lots of different formations on offense. They run gap schemes, zone schemes, man schemes in their blocking. Very, very smart football team, very well coached. They do have a few kids they'll sub in and out, kind of a stable of about three or four running backs with one real key player, number four for them, the running back. He's been terrific for them all there. He's a playmaker. He can win games for them. But they also have, three other backs that have scored multiple touchdowns. And they also have two quarterbacks that they use. One kid that stayed with a little bit more than the other, but two kids that have gotten at least split the time, sort of 60-40. The main guy, number 12, reminds me a lot of Spencer Craig, who we had a few years ago, a fullback that can throw the ball. And then they have two very good receivers, a big 6'3" tight end who also plays wide receiver, and number 11, who's kind of their Julian Edelman, who's terrific, just a real playmaker. So offensively, they've got a ton of weapons. Defensively, it's interesting. Coach Morris has a philosophy. They play the 4-4, mostly cover 3, although they certainly have some different things they throw in there, but he has a very strong belief that you pick a defense and you play it and you teach your kids how to defend everything in that defense. And so it's not like some of the other teams that we've played where we have to, get ready for these 7 different looks they're going to give us. They stay, for the most part, in that defense. Number of different blitzes and some different coverages that they do out of it.
Unbelievable. Coach, my head is spinning. Oh, God. Well, we're going to have our work cut out for us. I can't wait to get there on Friday night. Jim, thank you so much for taking the time, and thank you for all your help this season. I really appreciate it and look forward to seeing you guys on Friday.
Great. Thanks, Rick. Hopefully you bring us luck again.
I hope so. Take care, Coach.
Right,
bye-bye. That is Jim Rudloff, who is the Marblehead High School football coach. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and we'll be back.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our 3 locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our 3 locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, joining us now is Danvers High School football coach Ryan Nolan. Coach, welcome. Thanks for letting me take the time with you tonight.
Oh, no problem at all. Thank you.
Well, Coach, describe that game because everybody is still talking about it. Just an amazing comeback for you guys in the second half and coming up just short. And, that ends that particular run. We still have several more games to go here. But let's look back at that weekend game. What'd you get from that?
We came out and we got what we expected. Tewksbury is a really good team, and they were really physical. And early on, especially them offensively, really took it to us. They were physical. They converted. We weren't tackling well. We blew a couple of assignments and, found ourselves down 21-0 in the middle of the second quarter. And it didn't look too good. And even at that point, some of the kids, started putting their heads down a little bit, and we weren't sure really what was going to happen. But, obviously the kid did a great job coming back and just showed so much heart and character and, took it to the very, very end. And I couldn't be prouder of the effort and the character and, all the intangibles that they showed.
All right, so now this is a challenge after having that game finish so close. You've had a couple of those this year now. And so what's the plan this week? And do you guys have an opponent yet?
Yeah, we have an opponent. We're playing Billerica. So we're going up to Billerica Friday night and playing another very, very good team from the Merrimack Valley who's physical and ready to go. And, you know, we talked to the kids about it today, and I was so pleased they were up to the challenge. And I think, you know, like the coaches feel, they were, you know, disappointed with the outcome of the game, and we're not looking for moral victories or anything like that. But I think there was a certain amount of pride in the character and the resilience they put in there. And again, you know, it really, really hurt to lose. But I think when you have kids that show that in a game like that, they're going to be able to play versus a team like Billerica as well, and they're going to rise up to the challenge.
Ryan, you football coaches are so competitive. You're the most competitive people that I know among coaches. All high school coaches are competitive. But football, for some reason, you guys just are off the charts. But you're not going to win every game. And as an athlete and as a coach, as in your playing days and your coaching days elsewhere, you know that every now and then it just ain't going to work. And so what do you do personally to make yourself put that in the rearview mirror and then focus on the task at hand? Because there are still, you know, several more games left. And, you know, these kids, they've got their whole lives ahead of them. You've got your whole coaching career ahead of you. But nevertheless, that one loss still hurts. So how do you put that in the rearview mirror?
You know, I guess you talk about mechanisms. I'll tell you the truth. Yesterday, watching film, kind of going on YouTube, and actually came up with one of the things with the Roosevelt speech, Man in the Arena. And I think at the end of it, I was watching it, and they talked about, you know, if you win, you know, you succeeded greatly, and if you lose, at least, you know, you gave everything that you had, and, you know, you're somebody that knows victory and defeat, you mm-hmm. know, and you put everything out there, and you live with the fact that you gave it all you had, and you put yourself out there, you didn't hold anything back, and that, you know, you move forward from that and feel good about yourself and about what happened and about, you know, who you are as a person or as a program, as a team.
Well, yeah, obviously winning is better, but it always, you know, when a high school kid can look back on his career and say, well, crap, I competed, man. I competed, and that was one hell of a game. It's a good experience, and, you know, we do have to, in all walks of life, we've got to learn to how to get up off the mat.
And I think that our kids are willing to, they've done it all year, regardless of the game. Every game we've been in is close, and you know what? Win or loss, they come back the same way. Really, really fortunate, you know, strong character kids that, you know, really have bought into the process and, you know, looking forward to a great challenge this week and Bill Rick.
All right. I'm really
proud of the way they handle themselves.
And I've really enjoyed talking with your kids and your players, and I appreciate that, Ryan. And we're going to have to do a Thanksgiving Day feature because we will be doing the Danvers-Gloucester game in a couple of weeks, so I look forward to that as well. But in the meantime, go up there and bring back a win for the NEC.
All right, sounds great. And can I add one thing? I just would like to say good luck to Stoneham in a big game versus Hamilton Wentham. I'm a Stoneham guy, went to Stoneham High. Actually, the running back who scored the winning touchdown is the nephew of my running back my senior in high school. So I just want to wish Coach Almeida and the Stoneham team all the best.
Sounds good, Coach. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you later on. We'll talk next week.
All right.
Thank you, Coach. Take care. All right, that is Ryan Nolan, who is the Danvers High School football coach, and they lost that heartbreaker one-pointer over the weekend to Tewksbury. Trying to go for the two-pointer and just didn't quite get it, but great bunch of kids, as all these teams have great kids on them, and it's just a blast to talk with them. All right, I think we got time to take one more quick break, and then we'll check in with Nick Kukuru and see what's going on up on Cape Ann. We'll be right back.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Be sure to check out North Shore Sports Night every Monday night at 7. The North Shore Sports Talk Show with Rick Moore and Tim Kearns.
Okay, joining us now is the Gloucester Times Sports Editor, Nick Kukuru, and it's not going to leave time for Bill Newell, and he's all angry with me, but he'll get over it. How you doing, Nick?
Oh, not too bad. How's it going?
Good, good, good. Just checking up on what's left now of the tournament action, maybe a quick review, because I was a little... I guess I shouldn't be surprised at any score this weekend, but the Gloucester girls field hockey had a tremendous season, a great game, and they came up short over the weekend. And maybe you can tell me a little bit about that and whatever else is going on.
Yeah, for that field hockey game, I mean, that was a legit upset, I think. You know, Gloucester carried the play most of the game, especially in the first half. They came out flying and had about four near misses in the first 10 minutes that they didn't convert. And, you know, Wilmington hung around, and you could kind of see, you know, the writing on the wall a bit once it went to overtime. I think, you know, where Gloucester had a big advantage in the 11-on-11, once it went to 7-on-7, Wilmington was a little faster, where Gloucester plays more of a possession, you know, precision passing game, and Wilmington also had a great goalie. So you knew that those two things come into play a lot more when there's fewer players on the field, and sure enough, Wilmington got a 2-on-none break with the two fast girls and converting on it.
Well, again, a tremendous season for Coach Gove and the kids, and I'm sure that's going to be, when you do the end-of-the-year highlights, they're going to be up there in the top 10.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first conference title in 10 years. I mean, somehow they managed to, you know, continue to raise the bar every year. They do something they haven't done in a while every season. And, you know, I don't know. I'm excited to see what they do next year because they only lose about 3 forwards.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, I mean, they're going to reload again. Marissa Enos will be tough to replace, but, I mean, so wasn't, you know, Sam Cominelli and Rachel Alexander. And they didn't skip a beat this season.
Right.
So, I mean, I expect them to be right back in the mix as one of those teams in Division II next year, too.
Well, what else do we have for tournament action? We know about football, and it's a tough one for Gloucester High School football because the numbers are way down. The numbers at the high school are way down. It's a small school now, and they've got so many injuries with their starters.
Exactly, those injuries are really taking their toll on the team now. You know, they play Wilmington in week two or week three when they. You know, that's probably a game that comes right down to the finish. It's probably an evenly matched game, but they have, you know, a patchwork on both ends of the ball. And you could see it even more so on Friday against Wakefield, where, you know, Gloucester was better than Wakefield. They just didn't have all their players. And I don't think there's been a game this season where Gloucester's had its full backfield intact with, you know, Matt Smith at quarterback, Jampagne Ortiz, Ryan Argentino, and Mark Smith. Those four have not been on the field at the same time.
Right.
For one game this season. And so, I mean, who knows how good they could be with all four of them because, I mean, that's what their offense was built around, all four of those guys running the ball. And it's too bad that we never got to see it.
A lot of heart with these kids, though.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we saw it. They hung around for a while against Wilmington. Wilmington just had too much depth. And, you know, late in the game where all of Gloucester's starters basically are playing both ways, it takes a toll on you when, you know, Wilmington only has 5 or 6 choices.
All right, what else is are we looking at, Nick? Is anybody else still alive?
There is. We lost one more team today. Gloucester Boys Soccer dropped a tough one, 4-0 to Drake. Drake's proven to be a pretty tough 11 seed. Gloucester was the 3 seed. I thought it was pretty evenly matched, but Drake had just played a better game today. Gloucester was just a little off. They just didn't seem like they weren't as crisp on their passes as they usually are. And where, on the other hand, Drake had played great on defense and, you know, converted their chances. It was a 1-0 game for most of it, and you know, Wilmington got a couple late goals on a penalty kick and an incredible shot. One kid put one in from about 35 yards out, and the goalie had no chance. It was that good of a shot.
Wow.
So, I mean, nothing you could do. You know, Coach Minotto just tipped his cap. He said, you know, they played better than us today. It happens sometimes.
Absolutely, yeah.
We have Manchester Essex boys are playing Ipswich right now. They're scoreless at the half. That's a big one. in the sectional quarterfinals. And then we have Manchester Essex field hockey and Gloucester girls soccer going tomorrow. Gloucester girls host Wayland, and that's going to be a really, really tough game for them. Wayland is the lowest seed in the bracket, but they might be the best team in the bracket. They already bumped off the number one seed. They dominated the number one seed. Saugus was undefeated. It just goes to show you, you don't really know with these seeds. You can get good draws, you can get bad draws, and Wayland is not your typical 16 seed. They play in the dual county league, and they play a lot of Division One and Division Two powerhouses. Once you get in the Division Three tournament, we see with Manchester Essex teams all the time. There's nobody in Division Three is throwing something at them that they haven't seen already.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. Well, Nick, I hate to cut it off so short, but I'm a little pressed here. But we got caught up, so we'll be looking for this stuff in the Times. Anything else you want to mention?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just still plugging away at the tournament. We still got three teams still alive, so I think by tomorrow we'll probably have a couple still. So hoping to get some into the weekend. That'd be awesome.
All right, sounds good, Nick. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Take care. That is Nick Kukuru, who is the Gloucester Times sports editor. We're going to take one more break, and I am going to call Bill Newell to see if he's still around.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, pressing the wrong buttons, but that's what I do. Anyway, Voice of the North Shore, Bill Newell is here, and Bill, I got really confused here covering all these games and coaches tonight, so I'm going to let you help guide me through the weekend as to what we'll be doing, because I know we've got a bunch of stuff here planned, I think, don't we?
Yeah, I would think so. We have, well, Friday night, Marblehead, Melrose, that's the game we're trying to broadcast on Friday night, and it actually should be a pretty good ball game, because Melrose, they have a great record. They struggled a little bit with North Reading, a team that other Northeastern Conference teams have beaten. They were a very good team a year ago. They're a good team this year, but Melrose didn't beat them by too much. And so it should be interesting. The game is at Melrose on Friday night. Then on Saturday, we have a couple of games. Hamilton Wenham playing host to Stoneham. Stoneham's just had a great year this past year. Played some Middlesex leagues, very tough. I really don't know much about them, but I did see Hamilton Wenham with you, Rick, on Saturday, and they are very impressive with a number of different very outstanding players. And of course, they have that game at home, 1 o'clock on Saturday, and then a game which I think I wouldn't have given Lynn English a shot maybe a few weeks ago, but I'll tell you, Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, they're playing host to Tewksbury, a team that Tim and Marty did on Saturday, and they just hung on for a close 21-20 win over Danvers, and that should be a very good game on Saturday afternoon. English came off one of probably their best game of the year a week ago against Bill Ricca, so that looks to be a really good game. Maybe a toss-up. Tewksbury, is probably going to be coming back ready to go, but this English team has got a bunch of different weapons, and although they didn't have the toughest schedule all year long, and they played in that Tier 3, but when it's come to playing these playoff games, they're probably toughest opponent of the year last week was Bill Ricca, and they handled them pretty well.
Yeah, and Coach Rudloff of Marblehead was praising to the nth degree Coach Carroll's job over at Lynn English and how he's got their attention, and the kids are playing such unselfish and disciplined football.
Very disciplined, Rick. Absolutely. They're, all different aspects of the game. We've talked about it a number of different times. In fact, Tyshawn Anderson is going to be our player of the week, a receiver, and also defensive player for Lynn English High School. At one point in the game, he had three catches for like 183 or 187 yards. One of them was a 99-yard touchdown pass from Matt Severance. And Severance, by the way, has already won that award this year, our Player of the Week award. But the sophomore, junior quarterback, rather, just pretty much played a perfect game in a situation where they. I kind of likened him more to an orchestra leader this year, opposed to being the solo performer the last few years for English, yeah. or one of several solo performers on the team. They're very much a team this year, and Severance's role changes from game to game, or from whatever they're trying to run, whether it's a double wing run look or the spread offense. But they're no huddle, and they're all business this year.
Sounds good. Now, just one other little quick note in that we will not be able to do live streaming video because of MIAA rules, so all three of our games this weekend will be on our radio channels.
Right, and two other teams, just to make note of, we'll try to do some things this week, but Lynn Tech is undefeated, and so is St. Mary's heading into this ninth weekend of play.
Yeah. Already, okay. All right, Bill, we'll talk to you in the morning. Thanks.
All right, you got it.
Okay, Bill. That is Bill Newell, the voice of the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Tim Kearns is off this week. That'll do it for tonight. This is MSONewsSports.com.